Good morning, everyone. Today's reading comes from Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 through 18. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. This is God's word for us today. Please have a seat.
Good morning. My name is Jason, one of the pastors here at Grace, and I'm going to be opening up the word with you this morning. We are continuing in our Sermon on the Mount series, where we are taking a look at the words of Jesus as he tells us what it looks like to be kingdom people. He tells us what it looks like to see his kingdom come and his will be done in our lives, individually, in our homes, corporately, as a church, in our communities. What does the kingdom of God look like? If you've been here the last couple of weeks, you know, as you hear Mitzi read those words for us this morning, that there's some familiar, like, structure and even words that are used. The reason is because Jesus is talking through three items, all under the idea of practicing righteousness. A couple weeks ago, we heard about generosity and generous giving, and how we are to not give so that we get praise from other people, but we're to give in secret so our Heavenly Father will reward us. Last week we heard about prayer, how we don't make prayer out to be something that's showy in front of everyone so people can see how righteous we are, but we pray to receive the reward from our Father who is in heaven. This week, as we open the scriptures, we see what Jesus has to say about fasting. Another spiritual practice, another practice of righteousness. Fasting is a word maybe you've heard in church, and now it's become popular outside of church with things like intermittent fasting. Well, Jesus was talking about fasting before it was cool to talk about fasting, and he has something to say to us today, and it fits a similar structure that he talked about when he talked about generosity and prayer. So if you haven't already, open with me to Matthew chapter 6. I'll pray for us and we'll get into the word together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that you've spoken to us. Father, we confess we need to hear from you today. Our world is complex. Our world is chaotic. And God, we confess to you this morning that our hearts are complex and chaotic. God, show us what it looks like to be your kingdom people. Show us what it looks like when your kingdom come and your will is done in our hearts, in our minds, with our hands, with our bodies, with our tools that you give us to do what you've called us to do. Help us to be faithful. Help us to hear exactly what we need to hear this morning, Lord. God, I pray that you would speak to each one. As Kristen prayed this morning, we pray that today would even be the day of salvation for some, that they would put their faith in you as they hear from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. Jesus started this section by saying, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven." This tells us a couple things. This gives us the format of how Jesus is going to talk about doing these things. He's going to tell us to do these things, but to do them in a certain way for the correct reward. That's what he is talking about, these three issues of generosity, of prayer, of fasting. And then the second thing we learn is that he calls them practicing righteousness. We typically think about righteousness in a couple of different senses, and sometimes we get confused about which one we're talking about. There's two kinds of righteousness that the Bible talks about. In English, we say it righteousness, but when you look at the original Greek that the Bible is written in, there's a little more nuance. There's two kinds of righteousness that the Bible talks about. One is imputed or given righteousness. It's a holy God calling you righteous even though you're not. That's one kind of righteousness. The other kind of righteousness is righteous acts. Doing what the Father commands, doing acts of justice, doing acts of kindness, being his kingdom people in our actions. So here, Jesus is saying, beware of practicing your righteousness in front of other people. Righteousness and righteous living is an outflow of the righteousness that the Heavenly Father gives us through Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit working in our lives. And he says there's a certain way you should practice your faith. And we see the format that he's going to talk about that. We're familiar with this word practice. If you hear the word practice, you probably think of a couple of different things. Maybe practicing a sport. Practicing something where you train your body, you train your mind to participate in a sport. We also think about practicing an instrument, trying to get better at our instrument. And so we practice. So what does it mean to practice righteousness? What does it mean to prepare our spiritual life for what God has for us in order to be his kingdom people? So Matthew 6, starting in verse 16. And when you fast... Okay, let's stop right there. There's an assumption that Jesus is making that we fast, that a disciple fasts, that a kingdom person fasts. So he says, when you fast. Fasting is something that we read about in the Old and New Testament. Fasting in the Old Testament looked like people abstaining, typically from food, but also other things, as we'll talk about in a minute, so that they could submit themselves to God. So that they could purify themselves to be used by God. So that they could hear God and from God in a special way as they denied themselves. And as you go through the Old Testament, if you're reading through the Bible this year, you'll start to see God talks a lot about fasting. And often he is telling them how they're doing it wrong. How they're supposed to use Sabbath and fasting for the purposes of God, but they're using it for their own gain. And then as we read this scripture today, we see Jesus telling them, you're still doing the same thing. You're still using fasting for your own gain. In the New Testament, the Pharisees would fast twice a week. There would be 2 days where from sun up to sundown, they would abstain from things like food and wine. They would abstain from sustenance and try to rely on the Lord. In Luke 18, we read the story of the Pharisee who goes into the temple. Remember this dude? And he goes in and he's like, God, thank you that I'm not like all these other sinners. And he lists off how he's practicing righteousness. And what he says is, I fast and I tithe. I'm good before God. I'm practicing righteousness. So thank you that I'm practicing righteousness and I'm not like all these other sinners. But Jesus has a word for him and us. Let's keep reading. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. If you were here over the last couple of weeks, you heard this word used that Jesus uses, hypocrite. It means actor. One who wears a mask to try to look different from who they really are. Jesus is saying that there's some who fast, but their reason for fasting is not to practice righteousness, but it's to look good in front of other people. And they are even going to the lengths of making themselves look hungry and sad. They're making themselves look like they're pitiful and miserable and like they're hungry. They're doing this to be seen by others. There's a fun little, we're going to word nerd here for a minute. In the Greek, this is a fun sentence that Jesus used. Jesus was really smart. Write that down. Jesus was really smart. And the guys who wrote down scripture, they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. They were really smart. In this sentence, in the original Greek, it says, they make their faces unrecognizable so men will recognize them. They're looking for the applause of men. They are looking to be seen by others. They're acting so that others will look at them and say, they're righteous. They're practicing righteousness. They must be right before God. They must be holier than me. They must have less sin than me. They want it to be seen by others. But Jesus says, truly, I say to you, they've received their reward. What's their reward for making themselves look hungry to get the applause of other people? The reward is other people recognizing them, other people approving of them. But as we've talked about in this series, if your hope and your righteousness is found in the approval of other people, it's going to be gone as fast as it came. Jesus is saying they got the reward, game over. There's nothing else for them but other people to notice them. That guy, that Pharisee who goes into the temple and says, thank you, God, that I'm not like all these other sinners. I'm sure he did it loud. He wasn't whispering, right? He was trying to get the attention of other people, and other people looked at him and they're like, all right, and just went about their day. That's the reward. It's over. Jesus says, don't fast like that. Verse 17, but when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Jesus says, actually, you need to do the opposite. You need to, first off, do what you always do. You need to wash your face. You need to make yourself presentable to go out of the house. But then he also says, anoint your head with oil. That's what people would do to set themselves apart for the service of the Lord. And it was also a sign of gladness and joy to anoint their head with oil. What he's saying is, do it for the right reasons. Do it in secret. Do it so others don't even notice that you're doing it. Because your Father who is in secret will reward you in secret. Jesus is saying there's something going on below the surface that should be our motivation for practicing righteousness. And he says here, do you want the approval of man who is here today, gone tomorrow, or do you want the approval of God? Do you want the approval of those that you can see, or do you want approval from God who is unseen? Do you want to be rewarded in public, or do you want to be rewarded by your heavenly Father in your heart? And better yet, in the kingdom come. Who do you want the reward from, and what do you want for a reward? Jesus says, when you fast, in order to practice righteousness, in order to be a kingdom person, in order to follow the one true king, something about you has to be different than those that say they are holy, but they're just putting on a show. When you fast, you need to prepare yourself. You need to look joyful. You need to look for the proper reward. Your Father, who is in secret, will reward you. We see this pattern in this whole chapter in Matthew 6, verse 6. Jesus says the same thing about generosity. When you give in secret, when you give outside of the sight of other people, your Father, who is in secret, sees you and will reward you in secret. So let's get practical. We're going to talk about three things. I'm behind on my slides. Bear with me. Okay. Fasting. Three things. Why should we fast? How do we fast? And what does Jesus really want? Why should we fast? How do we fast? And what does Jesus really want? First, why should we fast? Throughout Scripture in the Old and New Testament, God asks his people to stop doing certain things because they are keeping them from walking in his ways. We forget sometimes that, especially the New Testament, was letters written to the people of God, typically a local gathering, a local church of the people of God. And none of those letters just say, keep doing what you're doing. They have instructions on how people should honor God, behave towards one another, and behave towards the world around them. As you read scriptures, there's lots of instructions, and there's lots of calls, challenges, exhortations, encouragements for the people of God to change what they are doing, to change how they are living their lives. How often do you come to church? How often do you read the Bible? And the pastor or the Bible says, "You're perfect. Just keep doing what you're doing." No, whether it's the preacher or God's word or the Holy Spirit, God is constantly instructing us about things that need to change in our life in order to be his kingdom people. That's why Jesus came, not only to live and die and rise again, but to teach. To teach his people what it was like to truly honor God and be his kingdom people. He also tells us that there are things that we do, not just with our mind, not just in our heart, but with our bodies, that can either honor God or dishonor God. Paul puts it this way in 1 Corinthians 6. He says, "Your bodies are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies." Some of you in your Bible reading plan are about to get to Leviticus. Good luck when you get there. About 7 chapters into Leviticus, you're like, "I don't even own a goat. And you're telling me how to prepare my goat for sacrifice?" Or maybe you get bogged down by the description of the tabernacle or the temple, chapter upon chapter, about what kinds of jewels and rubies and gold that they used to build the temple. Oh my gosh, when are you going to just tell me what to do? Those passages are telling us to what great lengths God's people had to go to build a temple that was worthy of a holy God. For a holy God to live in a building, a physical structure, that thing better not be like a box fort that you threw together in your living room. Then in the New Testament, Paul says, because of what Jesus has done, you've been bought at a price. You are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, honor God with your body. Practicing righteousness takes action, and often that means making a change. Doing something different than what you are doing right now in order to honor God with your body. So, I want to illustrate this. I'm going to move this contraption, as Brooks called it. Thank you for not breaking it today. So, I have something hopefully that will illustrate this. It's a cake. I like food in general. And who wouldn't want cake? This is a chocolate and vanilla cake. And if you are a skilled eater of said cake, you can use a fork and you can, there's only one proper way to eat a cake like this, right? Right down the middle. You know, part the Red Sea style. Because then you get a bite of the chocolate and the vanilla at the same time. Praise God from whom all blessings flow, right? Yes, someone's testifying in the back. I told you I like food, right? But liking food is not a problem. Liking food too much is my problem. And I was able to get by with it for a long time because of my genetics that made me look skinny and healthy. All the while, I was taking any negative emotions and masking them with food. And I love food. And it doesn't sound or seem sinful, and there wasn't any immediate ramifications, so it was an idol that was able to run rampant in my life. Now, since I've turned 40, when I eat sugar, there are more direct consequences of eating sugar. Also trying to drop some pounds, so I'm trying to stay away from sugar, and I have not had sugar for 6 days now. Thank you. Hold your applause. If I'm trying not to eat sugar, should I preach the rest of this sermon with this cake right in front of me? Are there any children in the room that can answer this question for us? Of course not. I can smell it. It's going to distract me. I might get my fingers in it. Oh, got to clean my finger. No, that would be foolish to put a cake right in front of me and just leave it there, right? I need to move this thing. I'd plan to put it on the stairs, but A, I don't trust you people. But also, that's just too close. I can still see it. I need to move it. What in your life are you leaving right in front of your face that needs to be removed? Cake is not sinful. Cake can turn into sin. I can use cake for sin. I can idolize and worship cake. It can be a huge distraction if my body is a temple and I'm trying to honor God with my body. If it's something the Spirit's telling me to fast from. But a good thing, when made into a God thing, becomes a bad thing. And we play around with these things and allow them to take a place in our life that is too prominent. And I wanted to use this cake illustration today because I want us to contemplate and I want us to act on the fact that you can fast from anything. And you probably should fast from something. There is something in your life that may or may not be sinful, but the issue is it's distracting you from practicing righteousness and honoring God with your body and being his kingdom people. So what it looks like for his kingdom come and his will be done is to set that thing aside. Depending on what it is, it might be for a short time or maybe it's for a long time. But there is something that is keeping you from practicing righteousness. And to practice righteousness means setting that thing aside. This is what fasting is. It's identifying what is keeping me from practicing righteousness. What is keeping me from hearing from the Lord? What is keeping me from his kingdom fully coming into my heart and my life so that his will is done? It might be food. It might be your phone. It might be social media. It might be TV. It might be food. It might be spending money. It might be endlessly scrolling online. There's all kinds of things that it can be. But what is keeping you from seeing him clearly? In Philippians, Paul talks about those who say they honor God and say they love God, but do not honor God, and in fact heap laws onto other people. The main group he's talking about is the Pharisees. And this is what he says about them in Philippians 3, verse 19. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly. And they glory in their shame with their minds set on earthly things. Verse 20. But our citizenship is in heaven. And from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. What is something that you need to stop doing in order to honor God with your body? What is something you need to stop doing or fast from or take a break from because your citizenship is in heaven? What is something that you need to start doing? Often these two go together. There's something we need to do more of, so there's something we need to do less of. We are training our body, our mind, our spirit to say no when we fast. We're training ourselves to say no when we fast. Charles Spurgeon, a preacher in America in the 19th century into the 20th century, said, "You don't understand the process of sanctification until you say no to something that is permissible." Saying no to sin, overtly sinful things, that's important, but we really start to understand how to honor God with our body when we say no to something that isn't overtly sinful. So let's get even more practical. How do we fast? How do we fast? As I go into these instructions of how to fast, I'm going to start with how not to fast. I've had a sketchy history with fasting from food. I've always struggled with low blood pressure and a high metabolism, and so not eating food. Usually I can not eat food and fast for like 37 minutes, and then I start feeling weak and hungry. But we saw it good as a collective leadership team 13 years ago to reach Iowa City and reach students with the gospel. We wanted to start a church. We had a small group, groundswell of people that were wanting to reach Iowa City. And so we determined on our leadership team that a couple of us needed to go and be a part of that church. And so we wanted to seek the Lord and ask him, who do you want to go? How do you want to do this? So we took a 24-hour time of prayer and fasting, where we prayed, we fasted from food, we sought the Lord, God, what do you want to do? And so I fasted from food for 24 hours. That 24 hours came up and the meeting hadn't started yet. And I'm like, I'm going to eat food. So my go-to when I was in high school and an athlete before a game, my stomach would be upset and I wouldn't be able to eat like real food. But for whatever reason, a Snickers and an orange juice, I felt like eating that, a Snickers and an orange juice. And so I would eat that right before a game to get like a blood sugar rush. So I'm like, the only thing that sounds good is a Snickers and an orange juice. So I stopped and got a Snickers and an orange juice, and I ate that. Went into the room where we were going to be meeting, and I sat down, and I'm like, I don't feel so good. Then I'm like, I don't want to start this meeting by puking. And then I stood up and ran to the bathroom and puked. Don't fast like that, is the end of the story. There's some ways that we can fast that are more helpful than others. The first time I fasted from food, I thought I wouldn't be hungry. I thought that's how it worked. God, if I fast from food, you'll make me not hungry for 24 hours, right? No, 37 minutes in, I was hungry. I'm like, this can be a long 23 hours. Fasting means removing things and adding things into our life that help us hear from God. It is not some kind of spiritual, cosmic manipulation where we try to get what we want from God. It's not about us. It's about him. It's about being citizens of heaven. It's a time for removing and adding things into our life to honor him with our body. It's a time of prayer. It's a time of sanctification. It's a time of identifying with Christ, who suffered in every way that we do, yet was without sin. It's a time to rely on the Lord. It's a time to see him more clearly. So practically speaking, we set that thing aside. It can also act as a reset to remember our priorities. This may look like setting your phone aside or setting it up on a higher shelf so you don't pass by it all the time. Phone addiction is a huge thing because we rely on it and use it so much, and there's lots of pretty flashing images on there. I can't tell you how many people I've talked to that say, I'm trying to use my phone less, and they carry it in their pocket all the time. That will not work. Have you ever had the thing where you don't have your phone in your pocket, but you still feel something vibrating on your leg? That means we're addicted. That's called a withdrawal. It's taking breaks and things from things to hear from the Lord. And I cannot stress enough, this can be anything. It can be stupid games on your phone. It can be watching the news every night. It can be a crossword puzzle. It can be good things that need to be set aside because they're a distraction. In my life, this has taken on many different forms depending on the season. As I start to sense I'm not praying, I'm not hearing from the Lord, I'm more anxious, I'm more angry, what do I need to set aside? Ultimately, we need to conclude today by talking about the motivation for setting these things aside. What does Jesus want? Because all things are made by him and through him and for him. And because all things have been subjected under his feet, what Jesus wants is all of you. Every square inch of the world belongs to him. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. What does it look like to honor him with all that we are? There are obviously overtly sinful things, but there are things that we call benign that keep us from hearing him, from fully submitting to him. He wants all of who we are. But he doesn't just demand that without showing us what it looks like. Jesus came and lived among his people and gave all of who he was to the Father, even to the point of death. He subjected all of himself to the Father. And as Satan tempted him, he just kept going back to, "My will is to do the will of the Father." That's what I am to do, is to honor God with my body. The Heidelberg Catechism says it well. What is our one comfort in life and death? That I am not my own, but I belong body and soul in life and death to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with his precious blood, and he has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. He says, "I have given you myself, now give me your body." He has said, "I have given you myself, now give me your phone." He has said, "I have given you myself, give me your time." What does it look like for you to honor God with your body? Would you spend a moment praying with me? And asking the Father for wisdom to show us right here, right now, what are short-term fasting, long-term fasting, short-term changes, long-term changes that we need to make in order to honor him, in order to act as citizens of heaven. Father, your word tells us that if any of us lacks wisdom, we can ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. We hold on to that promise today, and we also obey you by asking for wisdom. We pray for wisdom to know what it looks like to honor you with our bodies. We thank you, Jesus, for the work that you've done on our behalf. Thank you for dying in our place. Thank you for giving us your righteousness. Spirit, thank you for coming and dwelling among us. Father, show us what it looks like to be a temple of the Holy Spirit, to submit our lives to you because of all that you have done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. If you at any time have decided, "I'm going to follow Jesus," if you have questions about what it means to follow Jesus, or if you have questions about what you've heard today, you can come up and our prayer team will be up here as we close the service. You can also go on our website and let us know that you have questions or that you've placed your trust in Jesus. In just a moment, we'll close. Check out the volunteer fair back there. It's a great way to get connected here at the church and honor God with our time. Would you stand with me if you're able? For our benediction today, the words of Paul from 2 Corinthians, as he gives instructions to the church on what to do with their bodies. Church, since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of the Lord. Amen. Go in grace, and we'll see you soon.